This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you, Alex. Why don't we go around the room and identify everyone who's on the call?
All right, yeah, so I'll start with a roll call just for posterity for everybody who's just on the phone. Tony Sheridan?
Here.
Mike Wong?
Here.
Mary Ellen Jones?
I'm here.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Thames?
I'm here.
Alex Marcelino on behalf of Treasurer Wooden?
I'm here.
Jackie Primo on behalf of Commissioner Giulietti?
Here.
Karen Jarmak?
Sorry, I'm here.
Bob Aronson?
Here.
Matt Kelly?
I am here.
Michael Martin?
Here.
Just a reminder to please mute your phone if you're not speaking. We're having a little bit of feedback.
Very good. Thanks, Alex.
And then also for staff, we have Kevin Dillon, Mike Shea, Sharon Traficanti, Paul Pernarewski. Bob Bruno, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Alex.
Okay, thank you. And then Alex Peterson, so for any members of the public who are on, you may choose to identify yourself now if you wish. You're not required to do so, but just the opportunity if you wish. All right, so just a reminder, please try to mute your phone when you're not speaking. Also, regarding special rules associated with the meeting, please remember to identify yourself each time before you speak. Please also remember the audio is being recorded, and we will post the recording to the CAA website within 7 days of this meeting, and then I'll have further instructions once we get to executive session. But for now, we're all set to proceed.
We good, Alex? Are we good, Alex?
Yep, all set.
Great. So welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Still an unusual arrangement to have a meeting by, but it's what the best we can do at the moment. I want to start off by asking Kevin if he wants to get going with his executive report. Kevin?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'll start off with the passenger numbers. We are reporting on August and September. As I've explained before, a lot of our regional airports are not putting their numbers out, so we can't do the standard comparisons that we do. But I can tell you here at Bradley, in August, we were down 75.1% as compared to a year ago. In September, we were down 74.8%. That brings us year to date down 62%. One of the things, though, that we have been doing to try to give you a sense as to where those numbers stand is to take a look at the TSA screening numbers nationally and as opposed to our numbers. So they're not exact to passengers, but they're pretty close. And if you look in October, the national average was down 64.5%. In October, based on our TSA numbers, we were down 73.6. So you can see there's a pretty big differential between what's happening here at Bradley and what's happening across the country. A lot of that is related to the travel advisory that's in place in this region versus what's in place in other locales across the country. In November, the numbers are similar. The national average was down 65%. Here at Bradley, we were down 73%. In terms of cargo, here at Bradley in August, we were down 14.3%. In September, we were down 5.3%. Year to date, we're up 3.9%. What's happening with the cargo numbers, as you know, we're now comparing apples to apples over a full year with the Amazon operation here. So I'm expecting the numbers to kind of even out as we look at month to month. In terms of general airline service, pleased to say the new Cancun service by way of JetBlue starts tomorrow. We're prepared, as you know, that's an international service that needs customs clearance here at Bradley. So while the flight will depart from the main terminal building, the return will be going through our FIS facility. So we have had to set up separate busing and separate frontage controls over in the FIS, but we're prepared to move forward with that. And we're hoping that JetBlue can turn that service into a successful service. Also pleased to say that Southwest has agreed to start Nashville service. That's going to begin on March 11th. As you know, that's a city that we've been seeking service to for a long time. It's a great business market, but a great leisure market for us as well. And there's a lot of good connections out of Nashville into the Texas area as well that will serve us well. So looking forward to that starting. Today, pleased to say that we announced the opening of a new COVID testing site here at the airport. I do believe testing continues to be somewhat of the answer to reinstill passenger confidence in flying and to make it easier for people to deal with the travel advisory and avoid that 14-day quarantine period. So we announced this new site, which will be in parking lot 3. It's a mobile, it's a drive-through site. We're doing it in partnership with Hartford Healthcare, so it's nice to be affiliated with a name like Hartford Healthcare. It's going to open up on Monday. It's going to operate 7 days a week with the exception of major holidays. So, for example, it will be closed on Thanksgiving, but it will operate typically 7 days a week, and it's going to operate from 11 in the morning to 7 at night. So there's some good times there to capture a lot of our arriving traffic. And that site is going to supplement our Genesis site, which is going to continue to operate in the terminal building. As you know, we had some administrative issues with Genesis up front while they were getting this system down. I think we've got that all worked out. Typically, what's happening is results are coming back certainly within 72 hours. Yeah, every once in a while you have an anomaly based on lab capacity throughout the state. But Genesis can make the same level of commitment that Hartford Healthcare is making, that results will be generally available within 72 hours. But anecdotally, we've heard from a number of passengers that they've gotten the results within 48 hours. So again, nice addition here, and it gives people the ability to avoid a large portion of that 14-day quarantine period, and certainly makes it a lot easier for them to fly. I'm just looking at the Thanksgiving holiday period. We are going to be up next week. If you look at, you know, the average traffic that we experienced weekly in October, next week we're actually going to be 38% higher than what that average week was. But to put that in context, we're still going to be down about 65% from where we were last Thanksgiving. So still going to take a considerable drop in traffic, but at least there will be some level of increase occurring next week. As you know, we've done all we can. We believe in terms of enhancing travel through Bradley. You know all the things that we've done. We've enhanced the cleaning protocols, enhanced the sanitizing of high-touch areas here at the airport. The plexiglass shields are in place to separate employees and passengers. TSA screening, you no longer have to present the boarding pass. You simply insert your driver's license or ID into their reader, and they can pull up all your information. So there is no longer interaction between a TSA officer and a passenger. And certainly, as you know, all of the airlines have adjusted their boarding procedures to ensure physical separation and social distancing as people board the aircraft. So I do believe flying is a very safe activity when you put it in relative terms. Compared to what you're experiencing going to a supermarket versus what you'll experience at the airport or on an aircraft. You know, conversations that I've had with the governor's office, while we certainly understand the need for the travel advisory, really it's all about what's occurring at the destination that you're going to. And, you know, in my view, that comes down to personal responsibility. So we are continuing to push to make sure folks understand that it is, in relative terms, safe to fly, and hopefully people will start to get that level of confidence back. So before I go on, I don't know if there are any questions on any of that. Okay, seeing none. Just wanted to take a minute.
Mike, you're okay.
Excuse me, Kevin. When does that Hartford healthcare site open again? I know you said
it. It's coming Monday.
Monday, all right, thank you.
It's the 23rd. Monday.
Thank you.
I just wanted to take a minute to talk quickly about finances here at the airport. I have had a couple of board members kind of wonder, you know, in the face of such substantial declines in terms of passenger traffic, you know, how are we managing things here at the airport? And I think, simply put, we made a lot of good moves very early on in this pandemic. Things such as that initial 10% cut in operating expenses, the fact that we implemented the hiring freeze, the fact that we deferred managerial salary increases, the fact that we went back and started working on another 10% cut in terms of operating expenses, as well as the things that we're continuing to look at and do, such as employee schedule changes to get the most efficiency that we can to make the hiring freeze work better. All of those things have really added up to help us quite a bit. I mean, certainly the fact that we've gotten the CARES money has helped us as well. We're being very judicious as to how we're employing the utilization of the CARES fund, as well as any reserves that we have to tap into. But we believe that if we continue to adjust the operations as we go along, we continue to manage those expenses, we are going to be able to get to a point where vaccine is being widely distributed and that, you know, passenger confidence returns, that we're going to be able to manage this through. I think the staff here has worked very hard on our, you know, financing plans. I think everybody's pulled together and done their part to be as efficient as they can, and we seem to be managing okay. So I am I'm very optimistic about the future. You know, we are kind of looking at this that we will not see meaningful recovery begin until the end of 2021 at this point, and that's based upon just our view of where vaccine distribution will be at that point. But we feel very confident where we're at that we can manage to get to that point where we start to see that recovery. So I wanted everybody to feel you know, comfortable that we do have things well in hand here from a financial standpoint and an operational management standpoint. So I don't know if any particular questions I can answer on that. Okay, if not, let me just finish up quickly with a couple of GDA airport updates. At Waterbury Oxford, very pleased to say that Atlantic Aviation has finally started construction of the new hangar facility. As you know, that hangar facility will also have customs facilities. So that's going to be a major addition for us at Waterbury Oxford. You know, a lot of the aircraft today that, you know, are looking to come into the area but have to go to a different airport for that customs clearance will now be able to come directly into Waterbury Oxford. We think that's going to lead to a lot of traffic coming out of New York, principally out of the Teterboro operation, and that certainly means good things for Waterbury Oxford. We also announced the Clay Lacy development that was very well received out there. Just to remind you, that's a $20 million investment that Clay Lacy is making out at the airport to expand their existing operation. They're going to be constructing FBO and MRO facilities at the airport. So when you look at what that involves, they anticipate once that's completed, it'll add about 100 new jobs to Waterbury Oxford. So certainly a nice addition there. At Groton, you know, as I reported to the board early on, we were very saddened by the tragic accident that occurred at Groton. One of our colleagues was gravely injured and ultimately passed away. That incident is still very much under investigation by the state police, and I should have more in the coming months to be able to share with you regarding that that incident. Also, in terms of where we are with activity levels and in cost-cutting measures, we are discussing with the FAA the suspension of the operating certificate, the 139 certificate for Groton New London. Right now, it's highly unlikely, based on where air service levels are across the country, that we'll be able to generate interest in commercial service for the foreseeable future. We want to see if the FAA is willing to suspend the certificate. If we do suspend that, that alone would save us about $250,000 per year until we have to reinstate the certificate. So certainly more to come on that. At Hartford Brainerd, very pleased to say that we're meeting with the Hartford Jet Center, who has development rights at the airport for a number of hangar locations. They have a couple of trigger dates that are coming up shortly, so we're sitting down with them right now to fully understand what their development plans are. Right now, we're feeling pretty confident that they're going to look to move forward with those developments, but certainly I have more on that within the coming months as well. Also at Hartford, and you're going to hear a little bit about this later on an action item, we are moving forward with the obstruction removal plan at the airport. As you know, there are a number of trees that have to be either removed or trimmed, and the vast majority, unfortunately, at this point have to be removed, that are starting to impact surfaces of the runways at Brainerd. It's a contentious issue. We are working with DEEP. We're in the permitting phase. It's now really the responsibility of DEEP to coordinate the public interactions regarding the tree removal. But it is something that we do have to move forward. We have asked DEEP to expedite it. I think we've waited as long as we can in terms of moving forward with this obstruction removal, but certainly is a fairly contentious subject. And then lastly, at Danielson, we have just about completed all of the obstruction removal around that airport. That was a requirement that we had in order to receive a $2 million grant that we just recently received from the FAA for reconstruction of the taxiways and the runway at Danielson. So we'll be starting that construction work this spring. So with that, I'll end there, and I don't know if there's any particular questions I can answer regarding any of those items.
Okay. Any questions of Kevin? Kevin, any updates on Tweed and what's going on there, especially with the changes that are occurring at the in the legislature?
Yeah, Tweed, I don't know if you followed it. Just recently, American announced that they are leaving the airport. They had suspended the service with an anticipation of potentially bringing it back in November. A lot of that was based upon the airlines receiving further federal assistance. That federal assistance did not come through, so American formally announced that they're pulling out of the airport. Tweed states that they are working with others to bring commercial service in. My own personal feeling is I think that's going to be a very, very difficult thing for them to do in this climate. There are established airports that have lost significant chunks of service that are going to be looking to restore that before an airline starts new service at a new airport, unless, of course, it is a startup airline that's looking to operate from that type of airport. But in this environment, that's a very, very difficult chore. One of the things that we are going to have to wrestle with as it relates to Tweed is the aviation fuel tax. Those fuel tax revenues, as you can imagine, are down substantially. In round numbers, we're only getting in about 25% of what we had been getting in previously. So that's going to substantially reduce the amount of money that's not only available for our airports that rely on that money to operate, but it's going to substantially reduce the subsidy that's given to Tweed. So we're starting those conversations with Tweed right now. I'm sure there's a lot to come on that, as we give them that bad news.
Very good. If there are no other questions, let's move on to number three, the audit committee.
Tony, I have a question, please, Tony.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, I've received in the past 2 weeks a couple of these flyers from Aer Lingus talking about their flights all over Europe and how they're starting up and raring to go, and $399 a flight sort of thing. But on it, they show, you know, basically, well, they don't show Bradley as being one of the origin in the U.S. Airports. So I'm wondering where we stand on that.
I do have an update. That's actually an item that we were going to be discussing in executive session today.
Okay.
So I can certainly cover it during that conversation.
That's fine. Thank you.
Other questions or thoughts? So let's move on to the audit committee report.
Sorry, just had to unmute myself. So the audit committee met twice in the interim between our last board meeting. We did receive a presentation from the auditor, Plant Moran. Many of you received Kevin's email at the end of October indicating that the audit was a clean audit, no modifications. And I really just want to thank Mike and his team for doing such a great job, because we know how difficult it's been to conduct the audit completely remotely, which is very unusual during these times, and it all went well. And Mike, I don't know if you have anything to add, or Tony or Mary Ellen, who also serve on audit, but really good news for the organization.
I would just say thank you, and you know, no news is good news when you're conducting an audit, an unmodified clean opinion. It's the best we can hope for. So appreciate the comment.
Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Karen. That's obviously, it was a very good report, so that's always good news. Any other thoughts on the audit committee report? If not, we'll move on to discussion on financial statements, the audit for fiscal year June 30th. Did we just cover that, or is that, are we all set there, Kevin?
I think we're all set there.
Okay, legislative committee. Consideration of an action upon approval of the 2021 legislative proposal. I think we all got a copy of the proposals in our emails. Any thoughts or questions from anyone?
On October 21st, Tony, to go over that, and then I think Alex could run through it for us if you wish. But I think we all got the briefing on it, the written briefing, and if there's no further questions on it, we can move on. But Alex is available if anybody has questions.
Alex, do you have any thoughts before we open it up for questions?
Just all I would say, you know, we don't have to go through them all because they are by and large the legislative proposals that we had last year. So I won't go through each one individually. Just two things that I would note. The first one is the last item that we had listed in the summary, the meteorological evaluation towers. That was a late add to the proposal list last year. Originally, we had looked at this during the 2018 legislative session, and this proposal, just very briefly, is to require markings on meteorological evaluation towers. These are temporary towers that are erected usually with an eye towards assessing an area's viability for wind power, but they're put up, they're generally speaking lower than the 200-foot threshold that requires FAA approval. So across the country, there have been accidents attributed to these towers going up in areas where pilots are not expecting them to be. So in 2018, reacting to an NTSB recommendation, we had proposed this same proposal. That year, we actually ended up abandoning that proposal because the federal FAA reauthorization bill was passed, which included nationally a requirement for these types of markings. So we, at that point, you know, gave up on the state bill, since a redundant action was already being taken on the federal side. In, I believe, February of 2020, NTSB came back and requested again that we do this, regardless of the federal action, because they were concerned that the FAA rulemaking process would take too long, and they would prefer to see us do this on a statewide basis, in addition to the FAA process. So that's why you'll see this was on the list. This was not on the list last year, but it is something that has been vetted through the board in the past. The only other thing I'd say is that the retirement piece, which we've been after for a number of years now, we had at one point thought of potentially dropping this, but certainly due to the pandemic and the financial hardship that the organization finds itself in, the cost savings would be too attractive in a situation like this. We really need to push it forward, and also with the airlines all starting to contract and pick and choose between which airports they will serve, the fringe costs at the Airport Authority have been one of the things that has really stuck in their craw over the years, and we think that this would be something that would be very attractive if we were able to accomplish this. So, like I said, we had at one point thought of potentially dropping this item because of some of the reluctance that we had found on the part of the legislature, but we just think, particularly in this situation, it's too important to not move forward with it this year. And then if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions?
I just have one, and I don't know if others or Alex can answer this, but my sense is it's going to be a really different session again, that it's not going to be an in-person session. My sense is that they have the virtual sort of framework a little better under hand, but is there any feeling that or advisement to not be proposing a series of items, but maybe prioritizing to the top one or two? Or is anyone hearing anything around that, Alex, or others on the meeting call here?
We haven't been given any guidance like that at this point. We have talked to OPM about our proposals. They haven't mentioned anything like that. We haven't heard anything like that from the committee either. It does appear that it's going to be a very different year. Still not open to members of the public, but the legislature has started to really get their arms around the technology. They've done a couple of public hearings now virtually, so I think it at least through the beginning half of session, you can anticipate that's what it will look like. It's going to be a very different year for everybody.
All right, thank you.
Alex, have you given any thought to how we can continue the process of educating the legislators, the new ones I'm thinking of, virtually?
Virtually it's tough. Last year we did do the familiarization tours with legislators, and that was a good start. It was a good way to get some legislators out here to see Bradley Airport firsthand and see kind of a behind the scenes tour of how an airport works, and it gives them a little bit more, it gives them a better hands-on feel for it. Naturally it's difficult to do that. You can't be in the same vehicle with a legislator this year, so we are going to start doing more outreach now. I want to give everybody naturally a little bit of time to relax after Election Day, but it is about time to start reaching out and trying to get some virtual meetings set up with folks.
Thank you.
We have been staying in touch with the Transportation Committee leadership. All of the transportation agencies in the state are required to brief them weekly as to what the issues are. So certainly we've been doing that. So they are very familiar with some of the challenges that we have here.
Alex, I wonder if it's if you've targeted, once committee assignments are announced, and perhaps there might be someone on this board who is a constituent of one of those individuals you're trying to connect with, and that might be a way to make that connection where they'll be responsive.
Yeah, and we've also talked about possibly this year engaging some of the tenants more in the process. Reaching out to the airlines and possibly some of the fixed-based operators and some of the other larger tenants at some of the GA airports too, to get them in front of the reps and the senators that they represent, and to make sure that we're coordinating with them on our messaging as well.
Any other thoughts or questions? Okay, we need to take some action on this, Kevin.
On the legislative
agenda, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Yeah, we just need a vote that you're approving the legislative package for this year.
A motion is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Further discussion? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Oh, so carried.
Aye.
Thank you, Alex. So other action items, consideration of an action upon approval of to spend prior year unallocated GA capital program funds for easement acquisition and obstruction removal projects at Hartford Brainerd. You spoke about this a little earlier, Kevin. Do you need to add any more to this?
No, just that the $700,000 will upfront money that we're expecting to come back to us via a federal grant. This project is 90% eligible for federal funding. And the $700,000 will cover not only easement acquisitions, but design and some of the permitting activities as well. So important that we move forward with this so that we're in a position to start moving forward to remove those obstructions that I talked about earlier.
Very good. Motion is in order.
So moved, Matt.
Second, Mike.
Second.
Further discussion? There have been none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. So B, consideration of an action upon support for commercial alternative aviation fuels initiative efforts for local biofuel production to support Connecticut aviation sustainability efforts.
Could you repeat that, Kevin?
What's that?
Yeah, just generally, we're asking for the board to take a vote to support this initiative. As this group has been trying to advance primarily the use of biofuel for aviation fuel. And there is a belief that the Mira trash plant can be repurposed to start providing the ability to develop these biofuels. And there are a number of entities that are behind this, not the least of which is Pratt & Whitney and FedEx, as well as airports across the country and aviation entities across the country. So we think this would be a very good thing for the industry environmentally. It does a lot, and we're simply asking the board to take a vote to support the initiative. There is no requirement on the part of the CAA to fund anything. It's simply this group feels it's very important to have our support behind it. I don't know, Mary Ellen, if you're there, if you wanted to add anything on that.
I think Mary
Sorry, Ellen. I just fell off. I've been having technical issues. So I missed whatever you were talking about, Kevin. I'm sorry. You could give me the 2-minute version or the 2-second.
I was talking about the Alternative Aviation Fuels Initiative.
Oh, yes.
Looking for the board to support it, and that Pratt & Whitney is a big supporter, along with FedEx, of this initiative.
Right. Yeah. No, we would like at least, Mira and Deep to give this full consideration, the notion of converting that facility to, a liquid fuel production facility, using that municipal waste to create liquid fuel. So that would be sustainable, jet aviation fuel that Pratt use at its test cells here in Connecticut, that our operators at Bradley could use as well. Kevin mentioned, FedEx is a big proponent. JetBlue has a lot of sustainable aviation cred and interest. So we think it would be a plus really for the region, for Bradley, for our operators, and, for Pratt, frankly, to get, some sustainable aviation foundation here in Connecticut.
I think it's a great idea myself. I think, the effort to rebrand Hartford as the green capital of the Northeast is something that we all ought to be a part of. And so if you'd like a motion to approve that, I'll make the motion.
I have a question. I'm sorry, Jackie from the Department of Transportation, just on the, it says there was engagement with Deep and Mira in the city of Hartford. What has that engagement looked like, and what has been kind of their response?
So there's been conversations with Mayor Bronin, with Deep. I don't know all the players. Betsy at Deep. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I don't know her role. And then Mira. I don't know the people there either, frankly. It's been colleagues of mine. I can provide some of that information, Jackie, if you like. But there has been engagement. There's been briefings. Mayor Bronin, you know, he does, as you probably know, he has concerns about environmental justice and wanting to make sure that, we, the royal, we think long and hard about where to put such a facility, if the current location is the right place. But there's definitely a need. I think everybody agrees there's a need to figure out what to do with municipal waste because the existing facility isn't cutting it. And then there's this group of 70 towns that have got together as well. And that list is probably growing to also weigh in on it. So I can get you more details on some of the players if you like. I think we've been vetting it pretty well, I think.
Yeah, and this is Glenn Thames from the Department of Economic and Community Development. And so I've been in contact with Peter Holland from Pratt.
Right.
About this potential proposal. And so I'm coordinating, you know, on the state side with DEEP, our agency, the Connecticut Airport Authority, to again, get everybody on the same page from a state perspective as we, you know, think about this opportunity, because there's a lot of moving parts. This is a very controversial site and has a very, you know, winding history relative to trying to, make it more sustainable. And so I just wanted to add that in, that I'm looped in into this as well.
Right. No, thank you for that, Glenn. Very good point.
That's very helpful to know the deputy commissioner's involved as well. So, okay, thank you.
Okay.
And this is a matter of just providing some support for the process.
We're getting we have a coalition together of a number of organizations and companies, and so it would be great to have the CAA's, you know, support, at least for the initiative, to get it airing and hopefully at least get an RFI to consider it.
Terrific. Great idea. So, Mike, you made a motion to approve, I believe, and who seconded?
Yes, I did.
I'll second.
Second by Mary Ellen. So a motion has been made and seconded. Further discussion? There be none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. So item C, consideration of an action upon approval of a 2021 board meeting schedule. I presume we're going to stick with what we have for another year. Is that a correct assumption?
That's what's been proposed, Tony. I think in the packet that you should have been able to pull up on the board portal, you have a listing. Again, board meetings every other month with committee meetings in the intervening months. It's identical to over the past year.
In general, how has that worked, Kevin?
I think certainly from a staff perspective, I think it's worked well. You know, the fact that we do have the committee meetings in the intervening months, it keeps connectivity between the staff and the board. And I think, you know, from a workload standpoint and an issue standpoint, six meetings seems to be just about right.
So any thoughts or questions on this?
Kevin, it's Brett. Did you send this out ahead of time for us to take a look, or was this the first time?
No, I saw it, so I know.
It was in the board package.
That was on the board portal.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. So unfortunately, I just looked at my schedule. My boss has his direct report meetings at all of these dates, both for the board and for the FOG meeting. So I'm going to have to kind of give him a call and see what he thinks about all of this, because I'm not suggesting the rest of you change your schedule, but literally every one of these is a problem in one way or the other. So I'll try to pick a time where I think he's in a great mood and see if he has any interest in shifting it around. Other than that, I don't know if you were just looking at my schedule and thought this would be a good way to get rid of me, but I will try my best to finagle something here with him.
Oh, we weren't thinking of getting rid of you. That, I'm sure, didn't cross anyone's mind. But look, we can always visit this again during the year if it becomes a real problem for you, Brad.
Well, I am going to speak to him because I'm sure for the rest of you, it probably is just fine. I think you all adjusting to me is not right. And let me try to work a little bit of magic and I'll get back to Kevin on it.
With that said, so a motion is in order. Oh, no, we did that already, didn't we?
No,
you need a motion.
I do have a question.
So move, Tony.
So move. Second. Hear a second.
I have a question. Tony?
Go ahead.
I think it would be good if we got an understanding here that as soon as we're allowed to go back to meetings, that we go back to meetings. Just because we have the schedule and we're doing Zoom here doesn't mean we have to do that forever. And I think we lose something, by not meeting. So I'd like just to keep that in our mind that when it's allowed that we will go back to meetings.
So otherwise,
I second it.
Yeah, just to point out, they're going to be posted that the meetings will be here. We're only going to continue to do the Zoom meetings if we're still under the executive order. So I would like nothing better than to meet with all of you instead of staring at you all on a screen.
We miss those lunches you provide, Kevin.
There anyway, you go.
Motion has been made and seconded.
I can send you takeout.
No, that's all right. Mike is going to have one of our meetings scheduled for County Kerry when the Aer Lingus flies again. So
I'll be there.
Good. So motion has been made and seconded. So here, if no further discussion, let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Aye.
So it's Alex, why don't you do your magic? It's time for our executive session.
All right, so at this time, we'll move into executive session. Shortly, please dial back into the conference call on the sideline using the same details that you initially used, and then you'll be placed in a waiting room until executive session concludes. At that time, you'll automatically re-enter the room. So I'll now lock down the call.
Hold on a second.
For executive session.
So Kevin, who do you
have?
Kevin, who do you want in executive session?
I'm going to have Paul, Mike, Sharon, Alex. That should do it.
Okay, so noted.
You need a vote, right? Yeah, and then we just need a vote to go into executive session.
So moved for the purposes listed.
Motion is made and seconded to go into executive session. There's no discussion of that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, just give me one moment.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right, and we're all set to go.
Thank you. Just to announce that no action was taken during executive session. So we do have an action item now that we need to take care of. And let me try and summarize what I think I've heard, which is that we want to give the administration the ability to move forward with rent abatements when it is in the best interest of the authority, taking into consideration, of course, parity among the various organizations. Does that summarize, Kevin, what you think you need?
Yeah, I think that does it.
Who wants to put that in a motion?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
A motion has been met and second. Further discussion? There have been none. All in favor?
Aye.
And Tony, this is Jackie, and I'm going to abstain from the vote.
Becky, okay. You got that, Alex? Great. Well, motion is made and second. All in favor? Anyone opposed? I guess I did the favor part. No one opposed, so the motion is passed. So thank you very much. Is that what else do you have, Kevin? Do you have anything else for us?
I I think that does it.
That does it. Well, thank you very much, everyone. It was a productive, but we're being recorded. Forget it. Thank you, and I'm sure I won't see any of you until after the holidays, or at least after Thanksgiving. I hope everyone has a great holiday.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.